Revenue Chat episode 128. The Dream Business community wants to help you with your career and business. Are you ready for accelerated success? Check it out. The Dream Business community at tonyduroso.com/community.
This is Revenue Chat Radio with your host, Tony D'Urso, interviewing successful entrepreneurs and giving you actionable advice and insights. Let's rev it up.
Hello again and welcome to this episode of Revenue Chat. I'm your host, Tony D'Urso. In our last episode, 127, Derek Champagne gives a fascinating interview on the five crisis points businesses run into when marketing their brand, discovered after doing over 1,000 consultations with clients. These are the key points to speed up your marketing success. Also, get your free guide to improving communication and conversion with target customers as a gift at champagnemarketingcourses.com/Tony. This interview is chock full of great marketing advice and tips. I love it. And you can catch every episode of Revenue Chat on my mobile app. Just go to tonyduroso.com/mobile from your smart device or cell phone. And once it loads, past episodes of Revenue Chat will automatically appear in column 2. Column 1 is my other weekly high-profile show that focuses on highlighting Hollywood stars, sports greats, and game changers called The Spotlight with Tony D'Urso. Just go to tonyduroso.com/mobile from your smart device or cell phone. Okay, today we set the stage for Revenue Chat with Linda Hollander. Linda is featured by Inc. magazine as the leading expert in corporate sponsorships. She is the CEO of Sponsor Concierge, which helps business owners profit from the incredible power of corporate sponsors. Linda Hollander has 20 years of experience in business. Her corporate sponsors have included companies such as Microsoft, Citibank, FedEx, Health Net, American Airlines, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Staples, Walmart, IBM, and the list goes on and on. All right, Revenue Crew, let's rev it up. Get ready for Linda to talk about how to get funding from sponsors. Here we go. Hello, Linda. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Awesome, awesome. Linda, it's such an honor to have you. And I want to thank you so much for taking the time to hang out with us on Revenue Chat.
Glad to be here. I love Revenue Chat.
Oh, thank you. Now, the subject we're going to talk about is near and dear to the heart of many of us. Our Revenue Crew audience is very heavy in entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, small business owners, and they all would love to know more about sponsors. But first, I'd like to know, Linda, how did it all start for you?
Okay, you got to know that. Well, it basically started because I needed revenue. I needed funding. And unfortunately, I didn't know about your show at the time. So I wanted to do something called the Women's Small Business Expo, because I am such a fan of entrepreneurship. I am such an evangelist of it, because starting my own business got me out of the poverty trap. It got me out of just absolute debt that was choking me. I was living in a little rent-controlled apartment. I was afraid to go down to my mailbox. My hand would shake when I would open that mailbox, and it was because there were bills there that I could never ever afford to pay. And I was working at the time, but I was working at a dead-end job. I had to fight Los Angeles traffic to get there. When I got there, I had to work with people that I didn't even like. I mean, sometimes I would just eat my lunch in my car and cry because I had the heart and the soul and the fire of an entrepreneur. And my soul was crying out in that particular job. I also had kind of a weird relationship with my boss. It was abrasive. And so, you know, even though I was working, I wasn't making enough. So I maxed out my credit cards. And that's why I had all those bills. And of course, now we know not to do that. But I was young and I was stupid and I didn't know anything. But in my personal life, I was in an abusive relationship with a man. And this abusive relationship lasted 4.5 years because I had absolutely no self-confidence and basically thought, you know, that that was what I deserved. But you know, Tony, one day I had an epiphany and I said, I don't want to live like a victim anymore. I want my life to make a difference. So I fired my boss and I dumped the abusive boyfriend. And 3.5 weeks later, I met my husband, who is the kindest and the most gentle person in the world. When we met, he had a 20-year-old cat. And I thought, well, this has got to be a decent person to raise a cat of 20 years. And we have been married 20 years, speaking of that. So, you know, that happened when I made that decision to strike out on my own and start my own business. I was able to pay down my debt. I was able to travel the world. And most of all, I was able to do kind of what you do, which is mentor other business owners. And I absolutely loved it. So I wanted to show other women how to do what I did, because with my best friend, I started a multi-million-dollar business. And so I wanted to do this Women's Small Business Expo. But at that time, I was out of the business. I'm sitting at my kitchen table with the cat and thinking, how the heck am I going to do this? Because we're all taught to have big dreams, but those big dreams take capital and funding and revenue, like what you talk about. So that's when I started researching something called sponsors. And I found out that what sponsors will do is they will underwrite and they will fund your events, your book, your speaking, your business, your nonprofit charity, your show, you know, whatever you want to do, there's a sponsor out there to fund you. And so my very, very first sponsors, and I had never done an event in my life. I had no following. I had my parents and I had my brother-in-law on my on my list. And my that was my fan base. If I could have put the cat on my email list, I would have. And so, you know, I had to sell sponsors on the concept. And my very first sponsors for the very first Women's Small Business Expo were Bank of America, IBM, and Walmart. So women would come to these events and they'd meet their perfect business partner and they got the missing pieces of the puzzle that they needed to create their own multi-million dollar businesses. And it was so wonderful doing this. And it was all possible because of sponsors. And after Bank of America, Walmart, and IBM, I got FedEx and Staples and American Airlines, Health Net Insurance. I got Marriott Hotels. So I got all these great sponsors and it was just me, you know, basically doing them on my own, selling them on the concept. And that's what everybody listening to us today can do. If you have an idea, if you have a concept, even if you're just starting out, you could get some great sponsors.
Wow, what a story. And I so look forward to asking you a little bit more on this. And I have to say, I can relate on your life story on so many levels. And that is bravo to you on firing your boss. I remember when I left my job, gosh, well over a decade ago and became an entrepreneur, it was so much pleasure to put in my 2 weeks notice. I did the honorable, I put in the 2 weeks, but it was just so cool to just say, that's it. I'm never working for anyone again but myself. And what you've done is so cool on so many levels. Now, you did this expo and that's how you learned about sponsors and that's how you started. Well, how do you identify potential sponsors? Like, who would be the right one for something, please?
I'll tell you a few different ways to find the right sponsors for you. So in my case, at that time, I was doing the Women's Small Business Expo. I do a different event now, but I looked at other women's business conferences and I saw who was sponsoring those. So if somebody does or an organization or a person does something similar to you, look at who their sponsors are. And people say to me, oh, you know, Linda, don't they run out of budget? No, absolutely not, because you don't have to educate them about what you do. They're already in that space. The second way is to think of the lifestyle of your audience and your community. So for you, Tony, your audience is entrepreneurs. Now, who would want to sell to entrepreneurs? Well, banks want to sell to entrepreneurs. They want them to take out loans and things. So the banking and the financial community, office supply, retail. Remember, I told you I had staples. Shipping companies would want to sell to entrepreneurs. So think of all of the companies that want to sell to your particular target audience, and then you'll come up with some sponsors. Another way is to buy directories. There's sponsor directories out there. My company has a directory, and you could contact me. We'll give out my information at the end. If you want to buy a directory and ask them how often they update their directories, we update ours, you know, pretty constantly. So you can buy a directory. And lastly, LinkedIn. We found that LinkedIn is a good way to go about doing the legwork to find the right sponsors for you. You think of those companies, like I said, you know, that want to sell to the people that you can connect them with. And then you go to LinkedIn, and here's what you're going to do on LinkedIn. You're going to look up who's in the marketing department. Marketing. Now, can I tell you my FedEx story?
I would love to hear it, please.
Okay. So FedEx was one of my first sponsors also. And, you know, I got the audacity to call them. I mean, I am not like a natural born salesperson, but I had such a mission that, you know, even though I tried to self-sabotage myself and say, oh, FedEx, they're never going to want to talk to me. I'm too small. I'm going to make a fool out of myself. I'm going to be humiliated. I'm going to fail. I kind of got over that after a while and called them. And so I just cold called FedEx. And then I got passed from a couple people, but then I got the right guy who could green light a sponsorship. And he loved what I was doing. And you know what? Here's the cool thing about sponsors. There's something in sponsorship called renewals. Renewals, that is your cash machine. Because with sponsorship, if a company likes you, they can fund you this year, the next year, and the next year. And that is exactly what happened with FedEx. I got a multi-year contract with them. And by the way, that's not really possible with other kinds of funding, because if you get a bank loan, kind of a one-shot deal, crowdfunding is a one-shot deal, grants are a one-shot deal, but this is a relationship-based thing. So they can, FedEx, I believe they funded me for 4 years, and some years all they said to me was, Linda, send us an invoice. I didn't even have to resell them or anything. So that's a way that you can do it, is find out who's in the marketing department of a company.
Wow, that is so cool. Hey, send me an invoice. I want that person's email address, please.
Doesn't always happen that way,
oh,
but it did enough times, yeah.
Linda, what are sponsors looking for? Because some is just green light, open door, open door, open door. But there has to be something that they want. What's the key thing that we have to say to them that hits a chord with them of what they're looking for?
Okay, the definition of sponsorship is connecting a company to people who buy things. So that's what they're looking for. They're looking to make connections, and I'm going to drive this point home, to a group of people who are their core consumers. So any way that you can make that happen through events, through social media, through email marketing or video marketing or any of your touch points that you have with people, or if you're just starting out, any of the touch points you will have with a certain market, that is what they're looking for. You can promote your sponsors in so many cool ways. If you have a show like you have, you can give them web presence on your site. You could do sponsor spotlights and 30-second spots and 60-second spots. You can do press releases for your sponsors. Here's a cool thing. You can be a spokesperson for a company. Like the way, oh God, what's that guy from Star Trek? William Shatner. Mm-hmm. He's a spokesperson for Priceline. I mean, you can do that because sponsors are not going with the mega celebrities right now, because a lot of that has backfired on them, because a lot of these superstar celebrities kind of implode and you find out that they have character issues. So they're looking for real people like you and me who are really grounded. So you could be a spokesperson for a company. You can do an award presentation for a company. An award, you know, costs you maybe $25 to $100. If a sponsor's giving you thousands of dollars, and later we can talk about how much money you can make, you can afford that. So I did an award presentation for Citibank when they were my sponsor. Like I said, I think it cost me $50. I had the award custom printed for them. It was called, and if you're writing things down, it was called the Making a Difference Award. So write down Making a Difference Award. And we did it. We did some photos. We submitted it to the media. But what Citibank did was they submitted it to their employees. Here's another thing sponsors are looking for: employee engagement. So they submitted this photo of them getting the Making a Difference Award to their employees. And those employees felt really good about working for Citibank. And then when I visited them, this stupid little cheap award that I paid, you know, didn't pay much for is displayed in their trophy case. So they love things like that. So those are some of the things that sponsors are looking for that you could do for them. And Tony, you know, everything that I'm telling you is low cost to you, but it has a high perceived value to your sponsors.
I can totally see that, Linda. Thank you. I would never have thought about the award presentation and the employee engagement and so forth. But yes, it's some things like that have far more value than the intrinsic value or the value of the paper or the value of whatever it is that costs, because it's you, it's the media, it's your personality, it's the network. There's far more value in it. So I think part of this, right, is there's a perceived value far greater than what you might think, as in the case of the award.
Yeah, let me give you another example of that. Another benefit is signage. And this is if you do events, you could do signage for the sponsor. If you don't do an event, you could do signage on your website or on some kind of a virtual platform. But let's say you do an event and you pay $500 to get a banner printed. Well, you could charge that sponsor $5,000 for that or $10,000, because it's not about the cost of the banner, it's about the impressions that that banner is getting and, you know, the visibility and the impressions. You know, your expenses are important to you, but sponsors care about value. And I get these kind of calls all the time from somebody saying, well, I need $25,000 to do a show or an event or a book or, you know, whatever they're doing. And I'm going to ask for $25,000 from my sponsors. Well, what's wrong with that picture? First of all, you're not making any money if you're just covering your expenses. And we don't want people to work for free, because what you do has value. The more money you make, the more people you can help. And again, sponsors care about the value and not your expenses. So ask for more money than you need. That's another thing that I want to convey here.
I got that, Linda. Ask for based on the value, not necessarily, hey, this thing cost me $25 to make, but the value, hey, this thing that cost $25, 1 million people are going to see it. That's got great value.
So exactly.
I get that. Now, today, things are a little different in terms of calling a sponsor. For example, I tried to contact a company that I really liked, I had great affinity for. I wanted to interview the CEO on Revenue Chat. I tried and tried and tried. There is literally zero way to reach that person on the website. There's not even a contact us. There's nothing. And I tried and tried, and I actually gave up trying to get a hold of that CEO. Now, in the case of a sponsor, some of them will be the same way. You try to phone. You got lucky with Federal Express, perhaps. I don't know that I could still call Federal Express and get a hold of somebody after 3-4 phone calls. So what's the best way to approach them? You know, do you have to like send a formal letter and a formal package in the mail or something?
Yeah, the best way to approach them now is by email. Either email or... here's where social media comes in. And I mentioned LinkedIn because out of all the social media platforms, my company has been the most successful with LinkedIn, because LinkedIn is the professional platform. So you could send them a direct message or a private message on LinkedIn. Sometimes that works. And first of all, you don't really reach the CEO, because the CEO doesn't handle sponsorships. It's usually somebody in the marketing department. It's the VP of marketing, director of marketing. Here's some other things. Sometimes it's community relations. Sometimes it's public affairs. Sometimes it's brand management. Sometimes it's corporate communications, strategic partnerships. Those are some different departments that I have worked with. But every company has a marketing department. So that's why I want you to start there, because then they could lead you to the right department. So email is good. And like I said, it may not, just because you really like this person, they might not have been the one that handled sponsorships. It was just somebody that you liked and you had an affinity for. So I have had clients get a no from one department of the company and a yes from another department in the company, because you're working with companies, you know, that are bigger than the usual small business. So sometimes the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. So if you strike out with one department, you could go to another department.
That's clever information. Thanks. And it requires just knowing whether or not the person you're speaking with is the final authority, or does it go somewhere else? I guess after playing with it for a little bit, you kind of get the feel for if you should go to somebody else or not in the company.
Yeah, and here's a delicate way to do that, because you can't just call somebody and say, hey, are you the person or not? I don't want to waste my time with you. You can't really talk to people like that. So here's what I found is kind of effective. When you're talking to that person, say, hey, can you walk me through how the decisions are made in your company? And if they say, oh, well, I'm part of a team and we need to talk to this person and this person, this, you know, then say, well, on our next call, can we do a conference call with all the members of the team? Because then you get to explain what you do and get people excited about it, and you don't have to count on somebody else to explain it, and they probably won't explain it correctly.
I got you, Linda. Thanks. In reaching out and finding someone who's the right person that would entertain it, so I guess the next step then would be to send them a sponsor package?
The next step is to send them that industry standard sponsor proposal. Now, let's talk about the sponsor proposal, because this is the most important but least understood document in the sponsor world. All they judge you on, all they see about you and how magnificent you are and what you do is that sponsor proposal. So the sponsor proposal has to be in an industry standard format or you will not get funded. So there's two parts of the sponsor proposal. One is a full proposal, which is about 10 pages, and then one is a quick facts. The quick facts is about 1 to 3 pages. And when you are approaching your sponsors, you need both documents. You need the full proposal and the quick facts, because now a lot of the people in the sponsorship department are looking at proposals on their smartphone, and it's hard to read a 10-page document. That's very cumbersome. But you could look at a 3-page document and get a snapshot of what somebody is doing, and the object of the proposal is to get that meeting, is to get that phone call, because you have to have what's called conversations to create relationships and rapport and get those sponsor deals done.
I got you. I'm making notes on that. This is so cool stuff. Really, thank you on behalf of the revenue crew out there, our audience. Thank you so much for giving us all this information and helping us with it. And by the way, to anyone that wants more information, Linda does have a concierge and she does help people, and as mentioned, her website is wealthybaglady.com. She'd be very happy to help you with your sponsorship. But meanwhile, we're going to go back. I have some more questions.
Let's go.
You know, we've got an idea. We've got a plan. Either it's a concept, Linda, or it's something that's already ongoing. Do we need more? Do we need a media partner? Do we need to fluff up ourselves? Could you kind of tell us a little bit more about what the sponsor wants on that end?
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about the media partners since you brought that up. Media partners are fabulous, because media partners give you what's called extended reach in the sponsor world. Because one media source could give you, 25,000 people, access to 25,000 people or 60,000 people or, whatever, and right now, if you're just starting out, you probably don't have a big list. You don't have a big audience or a community. So that's where the media comes in. Also, we can leverage the media sponsors to get your cash sponsors, because most media sponsors are going to be what's called in-kind sponsors. In-kind or trade sponsors, there is a trading of benefits and services, but there is no cash. But in-kind sponsorships are really valuable. Let's take media. Like I had a terrestrial radio station and it would have cost me $25,000 to get the ad package that they gave me for absolutely nothing. So they gave me sponsor spotlights, 30-second spots, 60-second spots, visibility on their website. And all they wanted was a booth at my event, because radio stations have to go out into the community. It's part of their licensing. That's really valuable. You could get travel spots. Sponsors. You could get airline flights. And if you're doing an event, fly your speakers out or fly to where you want to go or go in the lounge or do an upgrade and, from business, coach to business class or first class. You could get cars. If you do any kind of printing, you could get printing done with sponsorships. And that is budget relieving. And that's why in-kind sponsors are really, really valuable.
I like that. That's very cool. And in-kind sponsors, definitely everyone make a note of that. Because without paying for it, you could get far, far more reach by just having that sort of a deal for someone that wants to basically piggyback with you and get additional exposure. So that's very cool. The Dream Business community wants to help you with your career and business. As you know, jobs can be fickle. Here today, gone tomorrow. And owning a business has its own frailties. Bloomberg says 8 out of 10 entrepreneurs fail in the first 18 months. A Harvard study says 3 out of every 4 venture-backed firms fail and there's other sources with shocking figures of their own, which all point to one very conclusive point. These are scary times we live in. Let's help you in the dream business community. Yes, you. Let's try to give you the information you need now to boost your career or business. And I'll be there every step of the way, helping you along with other experts in many industries. Are you ready for accelerated success? Check it out, the Dream Business Community at tonydurso.com/community. That's tonydurso.com/community. Hey there, if you've ever been in the need for a quick soundbite, video, or image, I'd love to talk to you about how video blogs could be useful to you. As I blog 1 to 2 times a week, I'm always looking for good images to use. And you know, I'd have to buy credits and then use them to buy images and then buy more credits. And not everyone had what I wanted, so I wound up having credits on multiple content sites in order to get all the images I needed. What a hassle. Enter Video Blocks. They make it easy peasy to not only get the images I want, they have millions. They also have high def footage, After Effects templates, motion backgrounds, and a ton of cool stuff. But wait, use this special link as my Revenue Crew audience and save 40%. Go to videoblocks.com/chat. That's videoblocks.com/chat to save 40% from Video Blocks. Check it out. And we're back with Linda Hollander talking about how to get funding from sponsors. Now, I've dealt with sponsors and sales for decades, and I always liken it to like a card game, and you don't always know what's in their hand. You don't know what they're looking at. You don't necessarily know what's a benefit. What do they want? They don't always tell you. They're always like, they don't show their deck or their cards. They want to know from you. Aside from, well, just research, like where would we go with this to determine the benefits for the sponsor?
Okay. Well, definitely do your research because there's more information out there now than ever in history. So when you go to the website of that sponsor, I want you to look at their press room. Write down press room or, you know, if they have articles about the company, because that's how they message themselves. So you're going to learn a lot about that. You could go to the investor relations part of their website. And remember, we're dealing with companies that are bigger than ours as entrepreneurs. So they have an investor relations part. Of course, go to their about page. You could put out Google alerts. It's alert.google.com for the companies that you want to sponsor. So that way, whenever anything comes out about that sponsor in the media, you kind of know what's going on with that company. Now, after you've done that research, I would advocate for just, you know, having a fact-finding expedition. Your first meeting with your sponsors, whether it's an in-person meeting face-to-face or whether it's on the phone, should be a fact-finding expedition. And ask that sponsor, say, hey, what are you looking for? How can we help you? When I had American Airlines, you know, I said, you know, how can I help you? And they said, well, we have initiatives in the women's market. We want to get more women travelers and we want you to help us with that. And we want you to help us publicize a program called Business Extra. So that's another thing that sponsors are looking for. Sometimes there's a part of the company that they want people to know about, or a new line extension or something. So they have this Business Extra program, and you could get extra miles, but most people didn't even know about it. It's Business Extra with 2As.com if you want to sign up for it. When I was working with Citibank, they had something called Women and Company, which was, you know, all this great financial information for women about how to plan their futures, and nobody knew about it. So sometimes that's what they want to know. I asked them and they told me, and I said, okay, you want people to know about it? Here's how we're going to do. We're going to give you speaking opportunities. We're going to hand out the information about these programs, things like that. So I found that, you know, just kind of asking them after you've developed some rapport, that they will tell you. They won't tell you everything, but they'll tell you enough of what you need to know.
Very cool. Very cool. I love it. I'm just soaking this all up. And now I would like a drum roll, please, everyone. Okay. This is the question that's going to get everyone on the edge of their chair. Linda, how do we know how much money to ask for?
Okay. All right. So first of all, my company recommends that you ask for a yearly sponsor fee. Don't go event by event if you're doing events. That's what I did for a long time. And I hit my hand on my head and said, oh, dummy, you know, you could get a lot more money if you ask for a yearly sponsorship. Bundle all the benefits that you do, because now we're not just running businesses, we're running little media companies. So we all do, we do email marketing and social media, and we create videos and blogs and podcasts. So bundle everything that you do. If you do online trainings, if you do a show, you know, if you write books, if you speak, bundle all of it together and ask for a yearly sponsorship fee. Now, most of our clients get between $10,000 to $100,000 from each sponsor. And there is absolutely no limit on the amount of sponsors that you could have. So this could be quite lucrative. So the sponsor fees are usually $10,000, $25,000, $50,000, and $100,000. And then, of course, it's kind of like a menu. There's different benefits that go with each level. It's like a restaurant. If you go, you order the appetizer, you pay one price, then you order the entree, you pay a little more, you order the dessert, you pay a little more, and then you order the wine course. So that's kind of how it goes in sponsorship. So that's how much money you can make. Now, asking for too little money is going to hurt you in the sponsor world. Let's say you're asking for $500 a year in sponsor fees. Well, you're telling that sponsor, we really don't have anything of value for you. And also in sponsorships, the decisions are made in teams and in committees. So you have one person that's your champion, and they have to sell you internally and pitch you to the rest of the company. Now, is it worth that person's time if you're asking for only $500? Absolutely not. You're working with a type A personality that doesn't have a lot of time. It is worth their time if you're asking for a decent amount of money, five or six figures, because then they're going to think, oh, okay, well, this person has something of value to offer me, and I'm going to check it out. So don't be afraid to ask for the big bucks.
I like that. Okay, everyone, if you want to get sponsors, you better start thinking big. Start thinking in those $25,000 to $100,000 annual. That's the kind of money that we like to make from each sponsor. And then there's reports, Linda. And then at some point, we would want that sponsor to renew every year. Is that something that they let us know how they work in terms of renewals and stuff?
Well, you're going to assume in your contract, it's going to be a one-year contract with a one-year renewal option. So let's talk about the reports. I like to send sponsors reports every quarter. Every 3 months. And not only do I send the sponsors reports, but I make an appointment to go over the report. I actually have a conversation with them. So, you know, because you could email them a report and they'll put it in the, oh, I'll get to this later file, which becomes the I'll get to it never file. So you want to have, you know, a conversation and go over the report with your sponsor and say, hey, here's how we're promoting you. Here's why you're sponsoring us in the first place. You have to remind them why they're sponsoring you in the first place, because they're busy. And they're going to forget, you know, say, I've got this amazing group of entrepreneurs, and that's why you're sponsoring us, because we're connecting you to this amazing group of consumers with a lot of purchasing power and consumer needs. So you have to remind them of that. And, you know, it's just old-fashioned relationship building, because when I had American Airlines as a sponsor, I did an interview like this, and I, you know, it was a radio interview. And then when I came back from the studio, I fired off a little email to her and said, hey, I just mentioned you on a radio. And she was there in her office, and she gets right back to me and says, oh, thank you so much. And they renewed with me. So, you know, it's informally keeping them abreast of what's new. You know, anything that's new with you and your company, send them a little something. You know, you don't have to wait, you know, till once every few months. And that is the difference. And then, you know, a lot of times, not every time, but a lot of times that renewal, which is your cash machine, that is the easiest thing in the world if you keep up with them all year.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for sharing all this valuable information. I know that our audience is just going to tear this apart, eat it up, and re-listen to this interview a couple more times to make sure that they've marked everything down. Is it true that a majority of new businesses fail? Check this out. In order to have a successful growing business, there are some vital points that you must know. You must have worked them out thoroughly. They must be synchronized with each other, and all employees, consultants, and companies that you depend on must know these items and be in agreement with them if your new business is to meet with a high percentage of success. Get it free, the Vision Map, Beat the Odds for Business Success at tonydurso.com/vision. Learn how to establish your vision, purpose, long-term objective, and master plan, including strategic and tactical planning. Get the Vision Map, Beat the Odds for Business Success at tonydurso.com/vision. V-I-S-I-O-N. And now I'd like to segue into getting to know a little bit more about you, Linda, as I do with all of my guests. I'd like to know more about you as a person, you know, your purpose. What motivates you? Can you tell us a little bit about that, please?
Yeah, I actually have a mission statement. You want to hear it?
Mm-hmm. Please.
Okay. Because if you read a business plan, you know, there's always a mission statement. But I think you should write a mission statement for your life. So my mission is to live well, to have fun, and to help other people discover and achieve their greatness. So let me break that down for you. I want to live well because I, you know, went through that period of time when I was driving the clunker car, and I would go to meetings and I would go to events and I would have to park that car blocks down so people wouldn't see it, you know, and if there was valet parking, I got into a conniption fit and I had to come really late or leave really early or leave late. And, you know, there was so much energy around, you know, just hiding that old car. And, you know, when I was able to release that and buy a nice car, I'm like, man, this is nice, you know, not to have to be embarrassed, you know, and to really be in a place where, you know, I can really talk to business leaders on their level. So I want to live well. I want to have fun. And having fun has really kind of dictated my business life because I have fired clients, where I'm sure you have too, that were not fun, that were obnoxious, and that really I dreaded talking to. And I said, who needs this? Like when you're first building your business, yeah, you take anybody because you need that cash flow that's coming in the door to keep the lights on. But then you get to a certain point and, you know, you can be kind of picky. And now I only work with people that I like and respect. And then, you know, helping other people discover their greatness, that is what it's all about. Because like I said, you know, we've all got big dreams. We've got big messages that have to get out there into the world. But we find that, hey, those dreams take money. And that's what people who don't tell you, they say, go for your dreams, but they don't say, hey, here's how to fund the dreams. And that's what one of my main mission critical, you know, things in my life is right now, is helping people fund those big dreams that they have.
I just love it. Those are some great rules for happy living, and I really appreciate you sharing that with us. That's a great idea to have a mission statement. Very cool. All right, Linda, the time went by very quickly. We are close to wrapping up. Is there anything else you'd like our audience to know about, please?
Yeah, I want you to go out there and I want you to hold your head up high and know that, hey, even if you're just starting out, even if you've been doing it for a while, you know, that you can add value to sponsors, that you can really do this, that you can realize all those dreams that you have, you know, that it's really not easy to play small. It's harder to play small than to play big. And I think, Tony, you'll concur with me on that, you know, and can I give something to the listeners?
Sure, please.
Okay, so I've got a gift for the listeners. You can get the number one secret to getting your corporate sponsors if you go to my website, wealthybaglady.com. You'll see how to get that number one secret for getting sponsors. That's completely free and my gift to you. And also on wealthybaglady.com, you can set up a free sponsor strategy session with me. So I will look at what you're doing. I will analyze it. I will tell you how to get sponsors. I'll tell you how to keep your sponsors. I'll tell you how to get the most money from your sponsors, and it'll be just you and me. So that's available to you too through the website wealthybaglady.com.
Well, thank you so much for that free strategy session. That is very cool of you, Linda. Thank you on behalf of our audience. I hope every single person listening to this contacts you and gets that free strategy session. There's nothing to lose and everything to gain, everyone. So please go to wealthybaglady.com and get that number one secret and sign up for that free strategy session. That's very cool. Gotta thank you, Linda. It's been great having you on. Learned a lot. Jam-packed, but full of goodies here.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It was great. And once again, everyone, Linda Hollander, and we talked about how to get funding from sponsors. And again, that's the website, wealthybaglady.com. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, and stay tuned to our next show on Revenue Chat. Our next episode is with Robert Klink. Robert, Bobby, is an intellectual property attorney, but he's not your typical lawyer. Sure, he went to Harvard Law School and worked at some of the most prestigious firms in the country. But if you look at the big whiteboard in his office, you won't see much about the law. His whiteboard is filled with tasks related to performing building, inbound marketing, and sales funnels. Bobby is a full-fledged online entrepreneur whose area of expertise is the law. Bobby tells us how you can harness the power of your intellectual property rights on the next episode of Revenue Chat. And hey, if you like this interview with Linda Hollander, would you kindly give me a review on iTunes? 2 to 3 sentences is just fine, and it means the world to me. Thanks in advance. All right. Thanks again, everyone. And until next time, remember, you can make life better for yourself and everyone. Choose wisely.